1, 2, 3. So we, so last week we covered Kiddush. I'd like to cover from Hamotzi until, I don't think we're going to cover Havdalah. I didn't include Havdalah on the list here, but through Shal Shittus. These, not going into much depth, but really just halachos that come up. You know, do you do this? Do you do it exactly that way? What exactly is the appropriate thing? And we're certainly not covering it, everything, but a few things that that I think people should know. So, number one, coverage of food. The first topic. We're not talking about who's cooking. We're talking about covering the food. So there is, why is it that we cover the challahs? Why do we have the minhag covering the challahs? So what's the reason?
So they're not embarrassed,
right? So that's reason number one. So there are multiple other reasons as well. So if we take a look here, so I didn't put in the full quote from the Rav. In the Sefer Nefesh Rav, Shechtik quotes the following, that the main reason that we cover the challahs on the Shulchan is the time of Kiddush is kihich, in the third line, kihich, the sesisu dust will be covered the Shabsa. So that it will be like a hush of an important feeling for the meal on Shabbos. You like have it covered, then you uncover it, it's wow, right? So that is, so therefore we have the food covered. And he adds in, v'idach beis tam, and there's two other reasons as well, shelo yira hapas b'shasa, right? So that the pas, the bread doesn't seem embarrassed, v'zecher l'man, and also remembrance to the man. That there was tal, that there was dew underneath the man, that's the challah tray, and then you have the man, the challah, and then you have the stuff on top, is the dew that was on top of the man, so that's to recreate the man situation. So those are the two other reasons that are mentioned. Okay, but he says, Heim tami malpia gada. Those are like the gadata reasons. What's the term of gadata? I'm missing an English word here. It'll come to me. So Lefiza homiletic. Those are more homiletical reasons, right? But the main reason is to give chashivas to the meal of Shabbos. For Lefiza Amar Rabbeinu, so the Rav said, Shenachul Mahachmir Bazel Legabi Kol HaMachalim. It's not just enough to be strict about this with regards to the challah. You should really be strict about this with regards to all of the food. For example, milon, melons, fish, the hayirakos, and the vegetables. So V'ayin the Osa V'suda Shnei Shabbos V'Shabbos V'Boker Gamtin. The same would apply during the day. So what's he saying? If you're going to cover food on Friday night, if you're going to have food on your table Friday night, it really should be covered. That is, or not bring the food out. That is, that's what Rosh Salavetchik claims. So some people bring all the food out, and right? So that is, so either bring it out or to cover it. There's some story that I thought was here, but apparently is not here. That he was at some like convention. And he comes out, and the entire thing is set for, and all the food is out in some kind of buffet for Shabbos. And he like ordered tablecloths to come out and cover it all up, etc. Right? So that was halacha number one in terms of coverage, not just to cover the challah, but to cover all of the food,
or not have it out,
right. Or not have it out,
not
right?
Have it out.
Okay.
Halacha number two, challah. So butzeya, so this is just straight out of Shulchan Aruch, butzeya shteki karos shlemos, that we will use, or cut two full chalos, right? She'uchsin shtehen biyado, butzeya tachtona, that you hold both of them in your hand, and we actually cut the lower one. The lower one is the one that should be cut, but adds the Ramah, Ramosha Israelis, in the italics, v'dafka b'leili Shabbos, that the night of Shabbos, you cut the bottom one, aval b'yom ha-Shabbos, o b'leili yom tov butzeya es halyona, but on the day of Shabbos, or on Yantif, you actually would cut the upper one. And he's v'atamhu at the end there, he says, v'atamhu al derech ha-Kabbalah. And the reasoning is based on Kabbalah, a big secret. Now, in the Sefer Nefesh HaRav, the Rav actually develops the idea about the different midos and different spheros, what that the night represents one and the day represents another. I don't understand what he was talking about. But it was the nighttime is more of a feminine sphera, and the day is more of a masculine. That's why the tefillah in in Shemoneh Esrei, the word, the paragraph Elokeinu Ve'avoseinu seems to be the same for all of the davenings over Shabbos, except at night it says Ve'enuchu Va Yisrael Mekadesh Shemecha, which is the feminine language. During the day, Shabbos and Musaf, you say Ve'enuchu Vo Yisrael, which is the masculine language. Then Mincha, you say Ve'enuchu Vam. Vam is the plural, is both of them together. So that is part of the imagery of Friday night versus Shabbos day.
Unless you
have to go, what?
Unless you have the Birnbaum sitter.
The Birnbaum doesn't change it, really? Yeah,
he added to the Walter Vo.
I see, we should stop using them here. Okay, so.
Talk to Alan Godfrey.
Let's pick it up with
another board meeting.
No, which one can we?
So the idea is at night we cut the bottom one, during the day we cut the top one. So the Mishnah Berurah quotes from the Bach, he asks the question, Tema, he asks, when Tema, you're now a mitzvah. So we have a problem then, because you're passing over the mitzvah, right? You have a top one and bottom one, you're cutting the bottom one, so you're passing over the top one, and you're not supposed to pass over mitzvahs. How do you get around that problem? So he says, Vataz, Tikun Bazez, so the Taz was actually the son-in-law of the Bach. So Bach asked the question, and his son-in-law, the Taz, took care of it. Tikun Zev, Nahag Lahaniyah, Hatachtum Karovelav Yosemina Elyon, Vinimsa Shevaget Chila Betachtum. That he would hold them, so he would put the top one further over and make the bottom one more accessible. So you would shift it over, so that way you get to the bottom one first, and you would cut the bottom one before the top one.
Didn't you have to cut both?
No, you don't have to cut. Well, I should say you don't. I didn't include that here. The general practice is not to cut both. There are those, the Vinach HaGra. I don't know if anybody, we have some Grunics in our shul, I don't know if they do it or not, but the Vinach HaGra is to actually cut both, because the challahs are supposed to, there's the idea of having 12 challahs over the course of Shabbos, and we don't have 12, we have 6, so if you cut them, so how do you get 12? So you can cut them all in half, right, so then you'll get up to 12. So there are those that have the custom of cutting both of them for every meal. So you have a big one, you have a little one, you cut both, okay? But that's not the general practice. I didn't include it here. I didn't include it here in this year. Right, but we generally only cut one and not the other one. Fine. Oh, he adds, the Mishmer adds in the idea at the end, Bahamadaktakin, those that are careful, Regilim Lirshom Besachim Kodam Bracha, are careful, or sometimes will make a little bit of an indentation before the Bracha. Why is that indentation made? Where does that come from? So for that, we go to the next two sources. The next two sources on our study sheet are both quotes from Shulchan Aruch, but if you'll notice, the simen is Kuf Samach Zayin. The simen on top was Reishai and Dalet, and this is Kuf Samach Zayin. So that's a pretty long distance. They're about over 100 simanim apart. Why is that? So Reishai and Dalet is in the middle of Hilchos Shabbos, and Kuf Samach Zayin is in the middle of Hilchos Brachos. So anything that you learn in simen Kuf Samach Zayin is not relative specifically to Shabbos, it's a regular whenever you make a bracha halacha. Whenever you make a bracha on bread, these halachos apply. So we're perhaps most, they're most visible on Friday night, but the halacha is actually all the time. So what is one of those? So I put down two. One of those halacha is v'tzarech lach toch ma'at, that you should cut it a little bit. She'im yachos befrusa yala shar kikar imo, that if you would hold that side, the other side wouldn't break off. You don't want to cut the thing in half, such that if you pick one up, the other side will fall off, right? You make a little bit of an indentation. And so that it's still considered a full piece. And the Ramah even adds in that on Shabbos you should even make sure to cut even less, because you want them to still be full, complete breads. Okay, so, but the idea of cutting the bread before is actually a halacha that we have all week, that if you have your bagel for lunch. So in theory, there should be, the first indentation should be made for that. It's not so easy when you eat it as a sandwich, right? How exactly are you going to take a half a bite and then make the bracha and then do the rest? That's probably not appropriate. But there are those, I can't say like me, right, that will pull a piece off first, that you'll make the bracha, pull a piece off, eat the bread, and then go on to the rest of the bagel in order to fulfill this din. Why are you doing it? You're designating it as, this is the bread that I'm going to be making the bracha on. Okay. Yes, Alan.
Okay. So if we have two challahs, one on top of the other, no matter
even if we're taking the bottom one and moving it slightly ajar,
right,
we're still then in the process, we still then have to cut the bottom collar.
But before, yes, yeah, so collar one, collar two is the bottom one. That's gonna be a little roll. We're gonna slide it over, and I'll make my cut here. Etc. There is also, I didn't include it here, I believe the Mishabura says that also the challahs are supposed to be covered over the course of that zayt. Remember, there's three reasons why we cover the challahs. So one of them is because of the brachos order, not to embarrass it. The other one is because to have the tada moment. And number three is in order to be zecher leman, to remember the man. So in order to remember the man, so therefore it shouldn't just be covered when you make kiddush, right? We're not making any reference to the challah when we're making kiddush, right? So it should be covered as well when you make the bracha of hamotzi. So it's not, sometimes it's a little not so easy to do, but try to make it so that the challah would still remain covered over the course of the bracha of hamotzi.
So you take a slice for it. I mean, not slice, a slit, and then you put the cover back on, and then say the bracha.
You can peek a little bit.
Yeah.
Okay. Us professional challah cutters have figured out devised ways to work this out over the years.
I've never seen anyone do that.
Yeah, I've seen it.
You keep rejecting invitations to our house.
Okay, because the last time I saw it was years ago at your house. I don't reject them. You just happen to invite us next time we happen to have company.
Okay, so that's standard.
See what you're making the bracha on.
I forgot who does
that. Yes, you can still see.
I see the part of
your stuff. Somebody here in that show does that. I forgot who it does it.
Besides the rabbi?
Yes, somebody else. No, somebody keeps the cover on.
I do it when I have a cold.
Okay, so Sifhei has the following idea of the challahs are so what else? This is also a regular weekly every time you have challah, and that is the idea of salt, right? It says the mechaber lo yivtsa sheyaviu melach lo yivtsa ad, excuse me, ad sheyaviu lefan of melach o liftan, right? Until you bring onto the table either salt or liftan. What is liftan? Liftan is like spices. It doesn't necessarily have to be salt. It could be spices as well. But keep in mind, this is not just a Shabbos halacha. This is a all week halacha, right? That there should be salt there. So says the so it continues on in that bowl. The lefes bo prusa habetzia, in order to spice up the bread, right? V'im hi nikia o shehi mutavlin betavlin o b'melach ke'en shalanu lo niskavin le'achol e'en otzarech lahamdin, right? That if it is a bread that either is clean, meaning it's totally clear bread, or it is already flavored, so it doesn't actually require salt. That is what the Mechaber says. So for instance, makes sometimes challah with garlic on top. Yeah. So technically, you don't require salt on the table. Now the Rama continues on and says, however, umikol makom mitzvah lahaniach al kol shulchan melech kodem sheyivtza ki hashulchan domel mizbeach. That there is, however, there is a custom for a different reason, right? Well, the first reason to have salt on the table is to have it with your bread, because you need to make the bread taste better. The second reason, says the Rama, is that your table is like an altar, and the altar had salt on it. That was part of the avod in the Beis HaMikdash, and therefore you should have salt on your table. However, if you're going to assume like that second reason, so you don't actually have to put the salt on the bread. Right? It's just the idea of having salt on the table doesn't necessarily have to be on the bread.
Do you just have a salt shaker?
So you could, yeah, the salt should just
be... But you don't have to use salt, you can use zakar instead.
You could, right. So for instance, on Rosh Hashanah, if you have honey, so do you also have to have salt. So technically, for the first reason, you don't have to because you're making it flavorful in another way. However, for the Ramah's reason, you should. However, you don't necessarily have to put the salt on the bread. So you put the two of those together. I will also add in, this is not just a Shabbos halacha. This is an all week halacha. Anytime one has bread.
But this is nikiya shehem. So it's when it says it's clean, it's saying. Is it saying
either it's nikia, either it's clean, like clear, right, good flour, o shehi mutavlin betavlin, or if it was had other types of spices in it, so it was baked in that way.
But if it's good flour, you don't need to put salt on it either.
Right. Right. So, how much does it really? I mean, even
what we use now, because they didn't have such good flour back then.
Right. I mean, even the Mechaber himself says, like our bread doesn't need. He himself says it about his own bread in Tzfat in the 1400s. Yeah. So, yeah. Okay. Okay. So, Zmiros. this is something I always had a question about. In the Sefer, that the Sefer Kovei Tzalachos that has come out recently, very rapidly, on all of the Moedim, and this was written by someone named Rabbi Kleinman, but he went around, I'm not sure how he did this, it seems like he went around and asked every question that came up, he asked from Shmuel for his final psak, which is very helpful, I find, because very times you get these more modern halachas farm that quote everybody, and they don't give you an answer. They say, there's this opinion, that opinion, that opinion, and you kind of feel bad going, yeah, that's one of the reasons, perhaps, why things seem more stringent than they have in the past, because you, now all the sources are apparent, are available to you. It's like, well, how could I? You know, he knows how to learn better than me. How could I? Yeah. So Rishul actually gives a psak on it. He's that. I find that to be very helpful. He said, oh, you don't have to worry about that. You don't have to worry about that. The minute is to do this and whatever. So he has a little section in that sefer. So it's an entire section on the mitzvahs asays of Hilchos Shabbos. Right. So he didn't just give a 3-part sheer series on the positive mitzvahs of Shabbos. It's like a book this thick. So in the middle of that, he raised the issue of Zmiros on Friday night. What about saying the name of Hashem? Zmiros during the day also, right? So should one say the Shem Hashem while saying Zmiros? And he paskins no. I'm not saying you know, just those that do perhaps have what to rely on, but he paskins that you shouldn't. Why not? He says, it's actually a part of a very long footnote, but he says, adko kasav mitzad isur zmiros b'divrei Torah, fine, to not have zmiros at all. Achim yesh bahem shmos yesh l'ayin tfei. Right, so I've discussed, the first part was sing zmiros at all. Okay, fine. But once you get past that, so then we have to look, and okay, what about if there's the name of Hashem? You have to look in a little bit more. He says, v'lo matzinu heter lahazkir shem Hashem el kishem izdamim b'psukim o b'ksuvim derech limuda. He says, the only heter that I have found to say the name of Hashem is either if you're quoting psukim, or if you're learning derech limuda, it's part of your learning. But the singing, the zmirus that you have over the course of Shabbos, so he doesn't think fit into those categories, and he doesn't think should be mutter. He says at the end of al zmirus pa'amma lo matzinu hetter, just to sing zmirus, to praise Hashem, that aren't part of psukim, and aren't part of a regular tfilos, and aren't, you know, aren't necessarily misakin by chazal, so he doesn't think it's appropriate to say the Shem Hashem. So again, there are those that disagree, but that issue is out there. Okay, next, as we moving right along here. So daytime kiddush. So I wanted to discuss two issues when it comes to daytime kiddush. So one is both of them are actually pretty complicated issues. One of them is the issue of, okay, we make kiddush here. Do you have to make kiddush at home? Right, what exactly is the status of making kiddush in shul? And then the second question is, what do you have to make kiddush on during the day versus at night? Is it different? Right, the idea of making kiddush on schnapps, beer, coffee, water. Right? What is one permitted to make kiddush on? So just to fit things in, I kind of readjust things. So the Shulchan Aruch should be the first source. So before we get there, actually, the Gemara has the following line. The Gemara says, Ein kiddush ela b'makom suda. Right, that is the classic line. Right, you can only, right. So, what do the words mean? Ein, no, kiddush ela, except for b'makom, in a place of suda. Right, that's the word. Right, so what does that mean? What does that mean?
We're doing kiddush out here.
So you can understand it in 2 days. I mean, I was thinking I could give a whole shiur on the problems of having kiddush after shul, after shul on Shabbos. Right? From probably you could probably cover every section of Shulchan Aruch, at least in of Aruch Chaim, with the problem of having kiddush after shul on Shabbos morning. But that's not for tonight's shiur. Not going to ask your kiddush just yet. No, don't worry. Especially when we're going to be having our carpet set.
After we get the new carpet,
yeah,
so,
but
be a good excuse.
You can clean it, not have kiddush anymore. That's it.
My wife says we should ban cakes with icing, but that's not the only problem.
So in kiddush el makom suda can really mean that you can't make kiddush unless there is a suda, right? In kiddush, there is no kiddush except for if you have a suda present. Mm-hmm. And the second thing is, in kiddush, you can only have kiddush when you're having your suda. Right, so that can write you're putting the accent on the different things. Right? Is it that the kiddush requires a su'uda, or is it that the su'uda requires kiddush? Right. So what is the difference? The difference is this. Right. But what have we done here? Nobody is having their Suda's Shabbos here. This doesn't, right? It's not your
Sometimes
Suda's.
Now you have to breakfast.
It's not your Suda's Shabbos, right? You're not being fed here. Yeah. So unless somebody does. There was a rabbi in Teaneck who did, not Teaneck, in New Jersey, who did a couple of months ago, who did the, what's it called, the food stamp challenge, right? Mm-hmm. And so how's he going to get by Shabbos? Whatever. So he actually came to shul with two matzahs, and everybody made kiddush, and then he washed, had his matzahs, and then had herring, gefilte fish, and that was his meal for Shabbos lunch. So, but if you're not going to do that, right, then you have a problem, right? Because have you fulfilled your... So one possibility is to say, ain kiddush, right? You just need a su'uda in order to promote kiddush. Now, are you having a su'uda here for those purposes? So for that, you could say yes. Why? What are you having here? You're having mezonos. Right? So that might not qualify as your su'uda Shabbos, as your Shabbos meal, but it may qualify as a sufficient enough meal in order to be okay with having made kiddush. Right? So that's A. Right? So that's possibility number one. Possibility number two is to say, no, you can only make, you can't, your su'uda absolutely requires kiddush. Right? And then there's the spot, and then, but maybe you can have kiddush now and then later, right? But you can say, no, you need to have kiddush by your meal, and if you're not going to have your, and the first reading doesn't matter, right? The su'udah that you're having without bread doesn't count, and if you can't make kiddush until you have your meal, right? So those are the different options. So how do we paskin there? So the Shulchan Aruch paskins, kasfu haga'onim on the bottom right, had the ain kiddush elva makam suda, afilu achal davar muat, even if you eat a little bit of shasa kos yayin shechayev alav bracha, yatsu yidei kiddush b'makam suda. The ga'onim write, like the first way we read it, that even if you're only eating a small amount, or you're drinking a kosher yayin, right? You're yotzei kiddush b'makom suda, and v'gomer sudasu b'makom acher, and you can even complete your suda someplace else. It says v'dafka achol lechem osha seyayin. Now, only if you eat bread. Now, it doesn't necessarily mean bread. I should have looked that up. I don't think it necessarily means bread. It might be what we call pasta above a kismet. It might be... I'm not sure. I'm not sure about that. But, or you drink wine. And so we assume, if you're drinking wine, so eating mizonos would be the same as that. But if you just eat fruits, that doesn't count. So that's why I think we... By Rita, we always have mizonos. So that makes the kiddush. Sometimes it's just salad. So I've told them that we have to make sure that even if you're going to... Right. So that's... So that was, so I know now he does, but several years ago there was a kiddush where Rabbi Cohen came over and nudged me about a minute after we made kiddush, there's no mezonos, right? So so since then I told him that you have to make sure that no matter what, that there has to be some amount of crackers out there in order to fulfill.
So the mezonos will then count as eating something after the kiddush.
Right, right. That will qualify as a suda, and therefore you were yotzei kiddush, right?
Oh.
So then I have a technical question. If, like, a lot of times I see people who are standing in back, they're not right near the table, so I take a basket and pass it around, and people take crackers. Yeah. There are people who don't. Are we obligated to?
You don't have to.
We're not obligated to do anything.
There's some people who don't eat kiddush.
First of all,
I'm not talking about those people.
We try to, educate as much as you can.
Might,
I don't
they
think.
They might take a piece of cake or the cookie. Or
no, some people don't.
Most people know.
Whatever.
I'm just saying, should we?
I think we're publicizing it. We're giving cheer tonight.
That's right.
I'm not talking about those people. I'm talking about the people.
I don't think you have to do that.
No, I'm saying maybe.
I'm saying I don't think
it.
I don't think so.
No.
I don't think it's necessary. So that's halacha A. So then there's halacha B. And that is quoted from the Rav Shechter, quotes in the Sefer, that the Vilna Gaon was machmed she'af b'kiddush shel yom lo haya mekadesh el b'makom suda gemur. He would only make kiddush where he was having his full meal. Not if he would have just a kiddush like we have in shul. Then you kiddush makom suda hu b'chtei l'kvo es ha'su'uda l'shem suda Shabbos. Right? And plus the idea of having kiddush makom suda means not that you're establishing the kiddush as being chashuv, but that you're establishing the meal as being chashuv, right? And therefore, you can only make kiddush at that point. Right, so that is his, and he distinguishes as we just distinguished. Right, he makes that distinction. So then the question is, okay, so now you have Suda here, do you have to go home and make Kiddush at home as well? So truth is, according to Shulchan Aruch, it doesn't seem like you do. According to Shulchan Aruch, it almost seems like you don't even have to make a bracha when you get home again. That there is room to say that one can say, I'm going to have my Kiddush here, I'm going to have my Mizonos here, and I'm going to have in mind to continue my meal at home, and I'm not even going to make a bracha achrona at shul. That one can, and I'm just going to continue eating at home. One can make that case. I wouldn't recommend it, but I recommend you. You have your Kiddush, you have your bracha achrona, and then when we get home, so in order to fulfill the idea of the Gra, perhaps not to be as strict as the Gra said you can't make Kiddush until you're doing that. It could be that both are right. It could be that in order to have Kiddush, you need to have a meal along with it. And in order to have a meal, you need to have Kiddush along with that. So therefore, you'd make Kiddush twice. That's why we make, those that have been to our home for a Kiddush lunch, for a Shabbos lunch, so know that we make Kiddush when we get home again. Okay, so that is Reish Ayin Gimel. Okay, so now we have...
So you recommend making Kiddush again or not?
I recommend making Kiddush again, yes. Comes the Shulchan Aruch on Reish Ayin Beis Siftes and discusses, so Nu, what do you drink for Kiddush? So there has to be some history that goes into account with that goes along with this, and that is that 100 years ago in Europe, wine was not something that was very easily attainable. Right? You learn from learning Hilchos Pesach about the questions that were asked about what exactly can qualify as wine, etc. Wine was not available readily, and if it was, it was very expensive. Right? So that plays a role in many halachos. Right? There's a lot of things having to do with wine that we, like the idea of benching over wine. So in theory, you should always bench over wine. There, even one person should bench over wine. And the minhag has fallen out of practice. Why? Probably because over several centuries of living in Galus, it just became something that people weren't able to do. So the question comes up with Shabbos, with Kiddush during the day. So says the Shulchan Aruch, "B'makom she'ein yayin matzui." If wine is not found, yishom shemakdishim al sheichar v'shar mashkin. That you can make Kiddush on beer or other drinks. Chutz min amayim, but water is not going to count. V'yishom she'ein makachim. And some say that you shouldn't do that. And so this is, by the way, even at night. Right. So, and then he comes along and says, Rush, right? Belaila lo yikadish al hashechar el alapas. That at wine, if you're not going to have wine, so rather than make Kiddush on beer, you should make Kiddush on bread. Right, so that maybe we've seen, right? We've seen siddurim that have the bracha on bread. Right? If that's the case, you would wash beforehand. That perhaps is the source for always washing before making Kiddush, those that have that practice. I think we talked about that last time. So
when you make Kiddush over bread, do you say hagafen and hamotzi?
No, you make a bracha hamotzi, right?
But you don't say hagafen because it's not hagafen.
Right. He says, however, uvaboker, but during in the morning, Yosef tov lekadesh al hashechar shivarech alav shahakol kodem birchas hamotzi. He says, however, during the day, rather than make the kiddush on bread, you should make the bracha on beer. So if you're not going to have wine at night, beer comes before bread, and during the day, bread comes before beer. Why should bread come before beer at night? Because bread is more chashuv than beer, right? Why should beer come before bread during the day? So there's a very simple reason. Because what happens if you, what is the kiddush during the day? So if all the psukim that we had in before, that's all extra. Really, kiddush during the day is you sit down, you pick up your cup, and you say Baruch Hashem Lekinu Melech Olam Barei Pri Hagafen. Or guffin, right? And then you drink, right? So during the day, so let's say I don't have wine, so I'm going to sit down and I'm going to say, okay, we're getting welcome everybody to our table. Brocha Hashem Elokeinu Melech Olam Motzi Lechem Min Haaretz. Well, how does that look any different than the lunch you had on Tuesday? Right, so at night when we make a whole extra bracha in the kiddush, so then we know we're making kiddush on bread, and it's obvious based on the extra bracha that we make. But during the day, when all you're doing is making a bracha, I know we have the custom of adding in psukim, but that's not really the essential part of the halakha. So Therefore, he recommends during the day to have beer rather than bread.
Is soda permissible instead of beer?
So soda is. I saw a question raised about soda. Say soda is flavored water over beer. Soda is something. The idea of beer is something that people drink, not necessarily when they're thirsty. I know people drink beer when they're thirsty, and people drink soda when they're not. But the general recognition is that beer that soda is a drink, and beer is a beverage. And the kiddush should be made over a beverage rather than over a drink. So I think
because we were stuck one time, we couldn't get home before Shabbos, and we stopped at a motel. And I happened to have food that I purchased, and I happened to have bread, but no wine or grape juice.
Right.
So we made kiddush over bread.
So the kiddush over bread, right.
But I don't remember.
So the next question would be, what about during the day? So I think he says tov. So he says it's better. So I think you would still make kiddush. If you don't have anything else, you would have the bread. I don't think that's a question. Okay. Now the Rama adds in v'chein haminag pashut k'divrei harash, right? V'im yayin bi'ir lo yikarish al pas. He says, however, if there's wine in the city, right, you shouldn't make the bracha on bread. And if you don't drink wine, so then he gets into okay, then maybe you would have it on bread. But what did the Rama say? Though the Rama said this is only if you don't have wine, right? But what is the ideal? The ideal is to have wine, right? Once you have wine, that's the preference during the night and during the day. Okay, so that is the premise. So it comes the Mishnah Berurah, and he seems to almost contradict himself in the two different sections here. The first section is where he's talking about it's better to make kiddush on wine than these things. Why? That he says wine is better than bread, as Kemoshim Mefarish Atam. Aval Yain v'makam shu matzoi vada yivarech alav. When wine is found, certainly you should make the bracha on that. Afilu b'yom, even during the day. Umikol makam, he says, b'bindina senu, right, in our countries, what's our countries? So he's living in Lithuania. I think he's actually quoting a Taz here, who's also living up there in Europe. Shayayin biyoker, that wine is very expensive. Rov shtiyas hamedina hu mishar mashkim lo nagu, right? And most people are drinking other things. Lo nagu afilu hagdolim lahadar, even the people that are rich, right? Even they don't get wine for all of the meals by yom. Shakir shalo hu rak midorabanu chuliyam asochan aso divya makilmas, and they rely on the makilim. Right? So he says the minhag apparently in Europe was that nobody could afford wine during the day, or if he could, they didn't. And they didn't. Maybe they had wine at night, but nobody had wine during the day. But the Mishnah Berurah is putting in the caveat of, but if you have wine that is available and is not so expensive, so then having wine is preferable to all of these things.
Does it matter white or red?
There is an issue. There is a question of white or red, but it seems from the Gemara when it discusses white or red that that it's based on that red is better wine. So nowadays, it's some, that's a judgment call. There is a further reason to perhaps have red at night, to specifically have red at night. So there are if you have a choice, red and white, so you would have red at night and white during the day. But you could have white at night also. So that's Mishnah Berurah 1. Mishnah Berurah 2, however, so people are those that make kiddush on schnapps, right? So people will make kiddush just on schnapps. So is that appropriate or not? So the Mishnah Berurah quotes from from Chayadam. It says, "V'im chaviv lo yayin saraf." If burnt wine, but that's not right. He's talking about whiskey, right? If whiskey is better for you, or brandy, I guess. Yachol lekadish alav biyom lechatchila. Right? He says, if you like schnapps better than wine, then you can use that during the day. You could even do that. Use that over wine. That's what the Mishnah Berurah says. B'medina senu shu chamer medina. In the places where it's considered the Chamardina beverage. Ah, he says, however, this is a little bit of the caveat. I don't know if this is going to make people happy or not so happy. The Mishnah Berurah says, if you're going to do it, you have to have a shear. You have to have the amount. Right? So the amount is a kiddush cup. Right? So whether that's good or whether that's not so great, that's what the Mishnah Berurah says. So I said, I'll let you have schnapps, but you better have schnapps like you would have wine.
So much for a schnapps.
Right? So it's not appropriate to have in a schnapps. That is the sheet of the Mishnah Berurah. There are those that say, no, even the Mishnah Berurah might agree. Says, well, first of all, you could split it up. I mean, in theory, if one person doesn't have to have the whole Mali Luglov, you can split up amongst people and it would come out okay. The Mishnah Berurah himself says. And there are those that argue on the Mishnah Berurah and say, no, if if the standard amount that you drink is amount X, right, so then it's so then that would be considered the amount that you could actually use for Kiddush.
So this is probably totally off, but if there's a pomegranate dessert wine, doesn't have grapes in it.
All right, so that probably qualifies as Chomer Medina for these purposes, and I guess you'd be able to use it.
All right, because I said, when I bought it for you, I said, you know, you can't use it for kids.
Apparently we can.
Apparently I made a mistake.
Right, but ideally wine is better.
Guess in it. That's
it doesn't have grapes. It's actually...
Right. Yeah. But keep in mind, well, right, A, you would make a shackle on it, and B, wine is better.
Right, better, but... Theoretically, if that's all you had, that's what you could do.
A shot glass is about 1.1 ounces.
Yeah.
Revius is either 3 or 4 ounces, something like that. Mm-hmm. So half of Revius is maybe 2 shot glasses.
Okay.
At most.
Right.
It's not
most.
That much.
Well, the rest of them do have it.
It's doable.
You have what?
I don't know. That huge
more than 2 shot glasses.
With a snap.
Okay. So, so comes Shalashidus. A few halachos when it comes to Shal Shudas. So Shal Shudas, this time of year, needs extra chizuk, right? Because it's usually not so soon, not so long after one has finished lunch. So halacha number one, ain't tzarech l'kaddish b'suda shlishis. One does not require to have kiddush at Shal Shudas. Haval tzarech l'vtso al shteki karos. But the Mechaber does recommend having two breads. Why two breads? Because the same idea, to be zecher leman, to remember the man. So v'im soed harbi pamim b'shabbos tzarech l'chol su'uda beis kikaros. You should really have two at each meal. And okay, but you should at least have one at Shal Shudas if you can't get two. Okay, so some are mekel, but ideally you should be machmir. So you'll see at Shal Shudas here, people will take two breads, make a bracha, put the other one down. Mm-hmm. Right, but as the idea of, but the idea is lechatchila to have two. Although you know, b'diavad one can have one. Again, you don't have to eat the whole thing. You just have to, unless you're holding like the Vilna Gaon, you don't have to eat the whole thing. But you can have only eat from one of those breads. So that was halacha number one of Shal Shudas. Halacha number two of Shal Shudas. Sifhei, tzarech lasos papas, tzarech lasos papas, right? It should be with bread. And then here comes the kulas. Those that say you don't actually need bread, you only require it to be from something made of the five grains. I mean, a cookie or agalach would also be fine. And some say that even if it's only something that's eaten with bread, that's okay. Like meat or fish, that's sufficient. But not fruit. That even fruit would be okay. For this, the star Rishona Iker, Shitzar Lassos Papas, he says the first source is the best one, right? They should be with bread. Elon Kane, Husoveabiosar, unless you are completely full. That's what the Mechaber says. Comes the Raman, says, O Makom Shi'ev Shalachal Pasar, if you can't get bread. For example, Erev Pesach Shechal Yos B'Shabbos, right? When Erev Pesach falls out on Shabbos, that happens every once in a while. It hasn't happened in a while, but I don't know if it's happening soon or not, but the Raman says, how do you, right? The problem is, how do you do Shal Shudas that Shabbos? The Raman says, you don't, right? You have some candy in the afternoon, and that would be your Shal Shudas. Shasol Lachal Pasar Achar Mincha Kil Kam Behilchos Pesach, right? As we'll learn later on, Hilchos Pesach. There is my rabbi growing up, Rabbi Krauss. So he, whenever there would be a speaker in Shul between Shal Shudas, he would often have the same introduction. The Mishnah Berurah comments that one could also, in theory, fulfill their Shal Shudas obligation with Divrei Torah. And the Mishnah Berurah comments that sheet as well. That I can't get these, so you have Divrei Torah, that would be sufficient. So he says, but the problem with Divrei Torah is that it might be wrong. I mean, sometimes you'll say it's Divrei Torah and you prove it wrong. So then you actually weren't Yotzi Shal Shudas. So Rabbi Krauss would say, so tonight we're having Tumen Chamar, we're not having Shal Shudas in school, so what are we going to do? So he says, so Baruch Hashem, we wrote a speaker that you should listen to everything he says because he's not usually wrong, and et cetera, et cetera. That was the classic
introduction.
Yes.
Oh.
Okay, so that is Sif Hei. And then we have Sif Vav, where the Mechaber says four words, Nashim Chayvos B'Suda Shlishis, that women are just as obligated in Shal Shudas as men are. So the Aruch HaShulchan comments on this. He says, the Aruch HaShulchan has, I put in a little bit more, that The Aruch HaShulchan has the act talking about when you eat Shal Shittis. So he actually has three shittas. One is before Mincha, the second shita is I don't care, and the third shita is after Mincha, right? So, and then he says that he thinks the third one is better. He said, unless you're not able to, so then you don't have to have it before, after Mincha, you can have it before Mincha, right? So during the summer, right, most people have it before Mincha. At least the rabbi who gives a shiur and doesn't want to be Yossi with just the water that is brought to him by Alan, so he has the Shal Shittis before coming to Shul for Mincha. But then he goes on and says, he says, the Gam Upashethu, he says, it's simple. The Gam Nashim Chayvos Besuda Shlishis, that women are obligated to have Shal Shittis, the Chol Mili to Shabbos, plus everything having to do with Shabbos, Musharim Nashim Kanashim. Women are just as obligated as men. All the right idea that women are exempt from time bound mitzvahs doesn't apply to Hilchos Shabbos, as the Gemara says. This is they are Chayiv in Shmira, they also are Chayiv in Zechira, that the Shomer V'Zachor Dibur Echatz, the women are obligated in the Malachos of Shabbos, the prohibitions of Shabbos, they're also obligated in the positive mitzvahs of Shabbos. So Kiddush, Havdalah, they all have their obligation on. Some of the details of Havdalah might be a little bit different. I guess we'll discuss next week. But they're obligated in Shal Shittis. And he says, Musharim Nashim Kan Nashim, Vaharbe, bottom line, Vaharbe She'en Yodos Mizem, many don't realize this. Ve'ish Lehudian, Ulhaziran, She'ishmer Lekaimus Lesuda Shlishis. And we have to let them know, and we have to yell at them a little bit. No, Lehaziran, you have to announce that they should make sure to fulfill the mitzvah Shal Shittis. So I feel honored that they gave me the opportunity to fulfill the command of the Aruch HaShulchan to remind everybody that they are obligated in Shal Shittis, even in this difficult time of the year. There is there's a little bit of a discussion of a defense as to why women don't do it. Not necessarily as recommended that they not, but there is a defense, but we'll maybe save that for another time. Okay, well, thank you for coming. Thank you for staying late. And